There is evidence that a preference for things that sound familiar is a product of our neurology. Scientists have examined people's brains as they listen to music and have tracked which neural regions are involved in comprehending oral stimuli. Listening to music activates numerous areas of the brain, including the auditory cortex, the thalamus, and the superior parietal cortex. These same areas are also associated with pattern recognition and helping the brain decide which inputs to pay attention to and which to ignore. The areas that process music, in other words, are designed to seek out patterns and look for familiarity. This makes sense. Music, after all, is complicated. The numerous tones, pitches, overlapping melodies, and competing sounds inside almost any song, or anyone speaking on a busy street for that matter, are so overwhelming that without our brain's ability to focus on some sounds and ignore others, everything would seem like a cacophony of noise. Our brains crave familiarity in music because familiarity is how we manage to hear without becoming distracted by all the sound. Just as the scientists at MIT discovered that behavioral habits prevent us from becoming overwhelmed by the endless decisions we would otherwise have to make each day, listening habits exist because without them, it would be impossible to determine if we should concentrate on our child's voice, the coach's whistle, or the noise from a busy street during a Saturday soccer game. Listening habits allow us to unconsciously separate important noises from those that can be ignored. That's why songs that sound familiar, even if you've never heard them before, are sticky. Our brains are designed to prefer auditory patterns that seem similar to what we've already heard. When Celine Dion releases a new song, and it sounds like every other song she's sung, as well as most of the other songs on the radio, our brains unconsciously crave its recognizability, and the song becomes sticky. You might never attend a Celine Dion concert, but you'll listen to her songs on the radio because that's what you expect to hear as you drive to work. Those songs correspond perfectly to your habits. This insight helped explain why Hey Ya was failing on the radio, despite the fact that hit song science and music executives were sure it would be a hit. The problem wasn't that Hey Ya was bad. The problem was that Hey Ya wasn't familiar. Radio listeners didn't want to make a conscious decision each time they were presented with a new song. Instead, their brains wanted to follow a habit. Much of the time, we don't actually choose if we like or dislike a song. It would take too much mental effort. Instead, we react to the cues. This sounds like all the other songs I've ever liked. And rewards. It's fun to hum along. And without thinking, we either start singing or reach over and change the station. In a sense, Arista and radio DJs faced a variation of the problem Andrew Pohl was confronting at Target. Listeners are happy to sit through a song they might say they dislike, as long as it seems like something they've heard before. Pregnant women are happy to use coupons they receive in the mail, unless those coupons make it obvious that Target is spying into their wombs, which is unfamiliar and kind of creepy. Getting a coupon that makes it clear Target knows you're pregnant is at odds from what a customer expects. It's like telling a 42-year-old investment banker that he sang along to Celine Dion. It just feels wrong. So how do DJs convince listeners to stick with songs such as Hey Ya long enough for them to become familiar? How does Target convince pregnant women to use diaper coupons without creeping them out? By dressing something new in old clothes and making the unfamiliar seem familiar.